On this episode of the BrewAuthority.com 5-Minute Beer Break. If I was eating something very salty, I would want this beer by my side.
Yeah.
It's very, very good, but it's got that bitter flavor to it. If I were to have something more along the lines of maybe beef or something that's seasoned but not over the top, like a pork roast or something like that, I would go with the oak aged. Hello from New York State. This is the New York Brew Authority's 5-Minute Beer Break with BrewAuthority.com editor Blake and me, Tom. I'm a guy who likes beer. We're running solo or semi-solo this week. We're no correspondence in the rundown this week, but we have what we think is going to be a pretty interesting show. Blake, how are you?
I'm well, Tom. How are you?
Excellent. Very good. What do we have this week? I'm excited to taste this one.
Yeah, this week we have Southern Tiers, Unearthly, Imperial, India, Pale Ale.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited for this one. So let's, in the interest of full disclosure, a few weeks back we were going to record a show with these, and it turns out I picked up, by accident, the Unearthly Oak Aged Imperial. I'm sorry, it wasn't an Imperial. The Unearthly Oak Aged India Pale Ale, which is not the same thing as what we're sampling tonight. So we didn't both have the same beer to sample, so we didn't wind up recording that at the time. But tonight we're on the same page.
Right, and to add a little backstory, I've had to stare at this in my fridge since that particular episode, and it's been quite the test of willpower.
No, I can believe it, because I did wind up sampling the oak-aged, since I knew we weren't going to use it for a show, at least not in the near future, and it was excellent. So I'm
quite fortuitous, I'm sure.
And I'm expecting really great things from this beer. This one looks really good. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
You know what? In past shows, we've wasted time. Let's not. Let's get right to it. Excellent.
There she goes.
Looks good. Now, they actually have serving directions on the bottle.
I love the labels.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much information about the beer on the label itself. You can't go wrong. It specifically says, store in a cool place, serve in a fluted glass, best at 42 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, I mean, you can't ask for much more.
Looks like I just failed on all of those, but I'm sure it'll still be delicious.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, I'm using an Omegang goblet. And I think I'm a little below the 42-degree mark, unfortunately.
I am as well. I'm warming it up with my hands, and it's in my Otter Creek World Tour pint glass.
Perfect.
Which is slightly fluted at the top.
Well, I'm going to just dive in here. This looks way too good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is such a good beer.
That's delicious.
Isn't that great? I mean, we need to describe it. There's a full-bodied maltiness to it at the front, and you have this kind of warming feeling to it, and then the hop finish, and it's, you know, there's a lot of hops in there, but I still wouldn't say it's not.
It's definitely aggressively hopped,
yeah.
But it's not knocking you over with
no,
that
it
business.
Doesn't beat you over the head. It's a
it's kind of like beer candy.
You know what? You're absolutely right. It's not it's not unbalanced.
I'm not saying it's too sweet either.
No, there's a lot of sweetness to it up front with the with the malt. I'm going to take another sip. This is good.
Now, Tom, have you had any other Southern Tier beers?
Well, just the oak-aged Unearthly, which was excellent. Now, the difference between this Imperial and the oak-aged is, yes, there's a little bit of the oak flavor not nearly as much as you would expect. The cascade hoppiness in the oak aged is more than this. So you there's a distinct citrus flavor to the oak aged. This does not have that. This has a more I would say a flat bitterness to it.
Yeah, which, I've had their standard IPA that you can get in the six-pack, and I love it.
I've had that, too, and that, I would say, is way more muted than this.
Yeah, but more, I'd say it's a little more aroma.
True.
To the other one. This one is a little lighter on that.
True, yeah. No, I would agree with that, too. And then Southern Tier has a porter that I believe I've tried at some point, but that's a completely different show compared to what we're talking about
today. Yeah, and I recently had the Pum King.
Oh, how was that? I've heard good things.
That everyone raves about it, and I do love most of their beers, but I liked it, but it was just almost a little too much for me, and I hate to say it.
Yeah.
And everyone, I'll probably get some hate mail now.
Yeah.
Because it has a very very strong following.
I was going to say it's a very popular seasonal for them.
It actually reminds me a lot of this beer, but pumpkined up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I could say that, I'm not sure what that means. Pumpkined up, the spices, the pumpkin flavors, even a little sweeter.
Sure,
but this is very, very. It almost tastes rich.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I'm very much pleased with this. This and the Oak Aged, between the two of them, they've got two winners here with the Unearthly Lion. I'm very much impressed. It's just really, really tasty. All around solid IPA, a lot of hops, but not still not beat you over the head with it.
And clocking in at 11% ABV.
Yep.
This is very smooth. There's no harsh alcohol kind of bite to it.
No, in fact, I really don't taste the alcohol flavor to it, which is surprising. It's something in the 11% range.
So you could you could convince me it was a 5%.
It's extremely, extremely smooth. You're right. Yep. So, talk about Southern Tier a little bit. What, where are they? Who are they? And what some of the big news out of that brewery recently?
Yeah. Well, I was checking out their website, and on the 7th, they had a message saying that that was the last day that they would be having tours of their facility.
Mm.
But that's actually not bad news. It just means that they are they'll be moving into a new building that they will be almost completed right around this time. And so they're really kind of growing and expanding into a larger operation. And I guess it's right down the street from their old location in Lakewood.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
And I wasn't exactly sure if I just... I don't believe Lakewood is very big, but it's kind of wedged between Pennsylvania and Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm. It's all the way out western New York. It is a sparsely populated area, south of the Buffalo metropolitan area. What's going on with the expansion? What are they? It's just a larger operation. I mean, is their volume now that great?
Yeah, I was looking at an article, and in 2008, I guess their production was would be equal to about 5 million bottles of beer. And I think they're just running out of warehouse space for the raw materials to make their product. So I think it's just a steady growth, and they're just getting a little, big for their shoes there. So
excellent.
Time to get a new pair. And you can find, they have a very wide distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's about 20 states. And I was in Seattle this summer, and that's actually where I had their mocha stout, oddly enough. Yeah. About as far away as you could get.
That's really, really impressive for another, and again, we always go back to the same thing, another small company in upstate New York that's producing a great product, and they have this countrywide reach. It really is impressive.
Absolutely.
So, all right, they've got the IPAs that we've had. I've had the porter before, the pumpkin seasonal that they've had. Many, many different styles.
So many. It seems like they just come out with, they throw everything out. They always have a new beer coming out.
Yep.
and it's just a very wide selection.
So speaking of different styles of beer, an IPA like this is obviously shows up with a very high alcohol by volume content. What makes this different from, say, a barley wine?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I was recently reading an article by Charles Papazian. Mm-hmm. He's kind of one of the most famous beer advocates, home brewers. He wrote a book called The Joy of Home Brewing, sold well over 1 million copies. And he had an article about that. Basically, there's a lot of convergence. I mean, you have a high hopping rate, mm-hmm. A lot of bitterness, similar malt profiles. I guess what it comes down to is how it's intended to age.
Okay.
And I was thinking this kind of has the taste of a barley wine, but just fresher, if you will.
Yeah, so a lot of the IPAs that I like have that... it's kind of difficult to describe. It's not a sharp flavor, but it's a... I think you just nailed it. You said fresh.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the IPAs I like taste clean and fresh, like there's a distinction between some of the ingredients. And some of the barley wines I've had, it's way more complex. The ingredients taste like they've melded together more.
And the article kind of talked about the, you know, a lot of thought hasn't been put into how IPAs age, whereas a lot of thought is put into how a barley wine will age.
Sure.
So it's hard to say how your IPA might age over, mm-hmm. you know, a year, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've made a barley wine mm-hmm. or two, and my oldest one is about 3 years old now, and it's better than ever.
Yeah. Wow. That's impressive how much it changes over time. I mean, 3 years, I mean, if you think regular wine making, 3 years is not a long time for aging of fine wine. But in just those 3 short years, I mean, I remember tasting, sampling your barley wine, and you were absolutely right. You gave me a sample early on in its production, and it was, you know, tasted good, but not complex. And then sampling it later, there was a whole new dimension to it. It really is amazing how it ages.
Yeah, it's a fascinating evolution for sure.
Oh, that's really cool. There were some other news items that I know you wanted to talk about this week. What else have you been covering?
Well, I think maybe one thing of interest was the New York Times has a blog called The Pour, and they were talking about stouts, and they had the top 10 stouts that they had a panel, you know, of tasters, various different varieties of the stout.
Okay.
And I thought it was an interesting list because it starts off and ends with two beers made in New York State. The first one being the Black Hawk Stout, which we are definitely familiar with, made in Saratoga Springs.
Absolutely. So we've recently, I mean, that was only, what, 2 months ago maybe, we made a stop out there when they released their White Hawk IPA.
Yep.
And the Black Hawk Stout has been a beer that they've made. It's been a couple of years now, correct?
I don't know how long they have been making it, but it's made under the Mendocino Brewing Company label. They make a few different varieties, so... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at the bottom of the list... Keegan Ales, and is their Mother's Milk Stout. And I've had that, and it is absolutely delicious.
Now, I've never sampled Mother's Milk, but I've read online many, many reviews, and it is a critically acclaimed stout. Made, I believe, Keegan's in Kingston, correct?
Yes.
And it's, I've never once read anything bad about Mother's Milk. So that's that's been a almost a famous recipe throughout all of upstate New York and beyond.
It's one you should be able to find on your shelves too. I mean, I've seen it around. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a relatively decent distribution, and they're getting, I think, more and more of a following, as are a lot of the craft lines now. There seems to be, you know, a little more attention paid to beer that isn't the mass-produced, dare I say it, swill that everybody's used to. So, you know, well, in danger of sounding a little bourgeoisie on you.
Well, Tom, I knew you were going to offend somebody eventually. I just wasn't sure when. The first two podcasts, you might have turned off some of our fruit-flavored beer lovers. I was waiting for that to come out again.
But that's true. It only takes. It's only a matter of time until I annoy somebody.
Sure.
And then going even further downstate, the Brooklyn Brewery has some interesting news, some grant money, and they're expanding as well.
Yeah, and I've seen this framed in a few stories, and an interesting one is why they're actually staying. They got an $800,000 grant from New York State to expand their operations, but they'll be spending many millions more on top of that. But I guess one of the key things that's kept them in that area, because they were kind of come up towards the end of their lease, mm-hmm. is the economic recession has allowed them to stay in Brooklyn, because it's driven down rents. So whereas they thought they might have to move out of the area because of escalating costs, now they'll actually be around for at least another 15 years.
Wow,
in that area.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I just thought it was a really interesting angle on that. Because in that part of town, everything's getting converted into, you know, apartment living and more less commercial.
Yeah, there's been a huge push the last few years, and it's not just the New York metro area. You can see this in upstate New York, in Albany, in the Rochester area. There's a huge push, and I don't know if it's tax base related or what. Maybe it's just the decline in manufacturing and industrial, but there's a big push to move away from industrial and light industrial zoning to your standard commercial and residential zoning. Mm. And towns, as they have the option, as businesses either close or move or what have you, have been rezoning on the fly as quickly as they can. So that's amazing news. That's great. Brooklyn's been, I mean, they've been there forever.
Yeah, well, their namesake.
Yeah, so, well, exactly, which is...
Might not be the same if they were based in New Jersey.
No.
Might not have the same appeal.
No, not at all.
Not to offend everyone in the state of New Jersey.
That's why you're the New York Brew Authority. Don't worry about it.
That's right. And I'll never be able to expand now.
Oh, well. Is there...
There's still 48 states left, so that's good.
Well, good. You've got room to grow. And I'll try not to annoy or offend anybody in the next podcast, I promise.
Well, let's not make promises.
We have no intention of keeping.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, that's been your beer break for this episode from the Brew Authority. Check back for more beer blotting from Blake at thebrewauthority.com.
Yeah, and please send any suggestions or story ideas to Blake at thebrewauthority.com. And you feel free to follow me on Twitter. It's twitter.com/brewauthority.
Excellent. Blake, thank you again for putting together this great show. We tried a great beer tonight, and I cannot emphasize enough how great the Southern Tier Unearthly Imperial India Pale Ale is. I'm truly impressed, and it has the Tom stamp of approval.
And my stamp as well.
Excellent. Blake, until next time, thank you, and cheers.
Cheers.
I'm the day bartender at the Early Bird Saloon, and from 6 o'clock to noon, I pour breakfast for the soaks who can't hold a fork and spoon. I take ham and scrambled egg, then I draw one from the keg and mix them in the blender. I'm the day bartender.
The New York Brew Authority's 5-Minute Beer Break is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License 3.0.
And on Sundays there's communion for the drunkenly devout. To the racetrack from the flop, this is where they make a stop to begin their bender. Still, who am I to critique? Oh, when I'm standing here pouring beers so many years in the darkness every morning of the week, I'm the day bartender.